next, we will be talking about the origin of the MG signals. Where do they come from and which neural populations generate them? First of all, MEG is a system method to EEG, so both measure mostly the same types of signals. There are, of course, lots of neural currents in signals, but neural currents in the brain. But what we are interested in is also primary currents, currents that are generated by neural activity related to some types of processing on functions related to human behavior. Of course, there are then along these primary currents, of course, they induce volume currents, that's red all around the brain, but these are not of interest, but of course, they need to be accounted for in the estimation of the primary currents. And what is the difference between MEG and EEG? Well, there are two main differences. First of all, of course, EEG measures neural currents, or like voltage differences, you know, if they're more direct manifestation of these primary currents, because MEG measures the magnetic field generated by these currents, so they measure different types of signals. And what's also quite different in MEG is that because we are in both cases measuring from the outside the brain, in the case of EEG, from the scalp, and with MEG outside the whole head. So then how these signals are seen at this level. As for EEG, this kind of primary current, the voltage would like spread on the brain because there are different layers of tissue, like the scalp and the skull. So this signal doesn't like directly or uniformly spread. There are some kind of curves and unknown ways it spreads to the brain. So that confuses the estimation a bit. Whereas for MEG, this estimation is more direct. So then actually the skull doesn't really influence the spread of the magnetic field. So then it's easier to map and estimate what has been the primary neural current that generates the measured field. And then, like I said, there are lots of different electric currents, neural currents in the brain. And there are sort of action potentials. The signal spreads with the neuron. There are lots of currents progress, and of course, there's also then a backward current. But what we actually see with MEG is not this action potential, because this type of signal generates like quadrupole in magnetic sense, which is difficult to see. It can be detected, but not as easily as some other types of currents. What we actually mostly see is sort of the postsynaptic currents. So then postsynaptic side, there's a neural current that flows within the cell. And this causes a current only one way. There are the volume currents that return, but it's not a quadrupole. This is called, sort of called dipole in the MEG sense. This type of currents are more easy to detect with magnetoencephalography. But one thing about the MEG, it's a very sensitive measurement device. We are measuring from the outside the head. And the currents and magnetic fields of individual neurons are very small. So I would say typically, these type of events are impossible to see with MEG, at least for the postsynaptic currents. For action potentials, this might be possible for some types. But normally, we would say that you need synchronous activity of many, many neurons. The estimations vary, but normally would say that at least something like tens of thousands, at least thousands of synchronous activities are required. And even more so, the currents can be whatever type of currents. They need to have a similar or the same orientations so that the currents sum, and of course they need to be temporally overlapping. And that's actually one of the, let's say, benefits of the postsynaptic currents. They last a fair amount of time, in tens of milliseconds, so that then even if the population of neurons are not perfectly synchronous, the currents, at least parts of the currents, are temporally overlapping and they sum up together and then generate the total sum of a magnetic signal that can be detected from outside the head with MEG. But there's more complications in MEG measurements. So then the magnetic field, which is generated by different currents, it's directed in different manner outside the head. So first of all, like I said, we need currents that have the same orientation. And actually, these graph pyramidal cells, or the dendrites, actually have that property. They are oriented in the same way. And actually, they are, what is known about these cells, that they are oriented perpendicular to the cortical surface. So if the cortical surface is shaped like this, you know that the currents are pointed this manner. So, but like I said, not all currents are detected in the same manner outside the head. So then, actually, this kind of parameter current that's oriented in this like tangential manner generates a magnetic field that can be detected outside the head, if they would consider that the head would be like a spherical conductor. But then, if you have a sort of radial current that points from towards the from the center of the brain outside, so actually the magnetic field generated by this is not readily detected. Well, actually, if it were, if the head would be a perfect sphere, then this kind of radial current wouldn't generate any kind of magnetic field outside the head. Of course, the head and the brain are not spheres, but they have fairly spherical shapes. So then, fact about the MEG is that it most really detects signals that are sort of like quasi-tangential, whereas like this kind of quasi-radial neural currents are not very easily detected. And this is one of the main differences between MEG and signals. So actually, although we can say that MEG measures neural currents and signals from everywhere in the brain, it has to be remembered always that MEG is selective to certain phenomena. Primarily detects neural currents, postgenic neural currents from the pyramidal cells, and all, even for those only ones that come from this kind of quasi-tangential currents, so that this kind of currents that are in the mainly in the south side. So now, after these last few slides, you should have some understanding of the origin of the MEG signals. So you should be able to understand these kind of questions, like which currents underlie the measured signals and which neural populations generate them and why.